Skagway residents voiced concerns at a town hall meeting on the pending Tidelands lease, and a Haynesboro committee decides to comb through a minor offenses ordinance. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. Last week's town hall meeting in Skagway brought out emotional reactions to the pending Tidelands lease between Skagway and White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. It was one of two planned informational sessions on the 35-year agreement. About two dozen people attended. Some said elected officials are rushing the lease decision and questioned possible conflicts of interest. KHNS's Greta Mart has more.
Assemblymember Dan Henry and Mayor Mark Schaefer started out the meeting with an explanation of why the municipality sought an early renewal of its lease agreement with the company that owns White Pass. The current lease was signed in 1968 and wasn't due to expire until 2023.
To forward the Gateway project and to do the things that we want to do down on the waterfront, we needed to gain site control. White Pass's answer to that or approach to that was, well, we have control of the asset. Give us a new lease and we'll give you access. Win-win for both of us.
The Gateway project is a plan to renovate and expand Skagway's port. Henry said that since the talks began in 2009, it was the assembly that dictated the parameters of the agreement.
And let me make this crystal clear. Every single solitary item that was negotiated was bullet points given to the negotiating team of the city attorney, Bob Blasco, Stephen Jr., myself, from an approval of the assembly. Here's what you have. Go get that done.
Assembly members Burnham and Henry, along with Blasco, made up the municipality's negotiating team. Burnham, Assemblyman Spencer Morgan, and Schaefer all work for White Pass. During the first part of the meeting, Henry outlined each section of the lease, built upon a memorandum of understanding signed by White Pass and the municipality in 2014. The MOU and the complete proposed lease are available on Skagway's website in the documents section. Schaefer said the new lease is crucial to the municipality's port expansion plans and helps protect Skagway in case of an accident.
It's a modern, articulate, protective lease document that we were lacking. One of the most important things in our minds is it secures indemnification provisions.
We have zero protection right now. Zero.
That was City Attorney Bob Blasco speaking by phone. He backed up Schaefer's and Henry's points. So did White Pass President John Finlayson.
We've always had the philosophy of entering into a win-win arrangement. We feel that in order for us to be successful, the city has to be strong and be viable and be successful as well. Pretty much everything they asked for, they received. We debated a few items, but for the most part, they received everything that they requested from White Pass.
When it was the audience's turn to speak, the tone of the meeting turned less optimistic. Here are residents Buckwheat Donahue, Nancy Corrington, and Gayla Heights.
I really don't think we should pass it. I think it's a win-lose situation. Win for White Pass, and if I was in White Pass's shoes, I would just definitely want this to happen, right? But as a citizen of Skagway, I think we're getting screwed.
I'm not saying White Pass is trying to take advantage of us. I'm not saying that Mr. Henry or Mr. Burnham or Bob Blasco are trying to take advantage of the city. I'm saying they haven't looked out for our best interests.
It was negotiated, nothing personal, gentlemen, negotiated by White Pass employees.
In a 4-2 vote earlier this month, the assembly approved the ordinance that authorizes Skagway to enter into the lease. That vote sent the decision to the public in a special election scheduled for August 25th. Business owner Jan Rentmore said that she thought the special election was scheduled too soon after the publication of the lease. She said the town hall meeting was the first opportunity she had to look at the document.
It's a huge mistake to dump this on the community in the middle of the summer when we're so busy and we've got so many other things. And it's not a sexy issue. It's an issue you have to really sit down and study and get your head around. I mean, these are concepts that took 2 or 3 years at the table to hammer out.
Lease critic and Assemblymember Gary Hansen proposed pushing back the vote to coincide with the October general election at last Thursday's Assembly meeting. That idea failed in a tie vote. Borough Clerk Emily Deitch said it's still possible for the Assembly to reconsider the election date, although there is a time crunch. Of all the members of the public who spoke at the meeting, no one testified in favor of the lease. Several asked the municipality for an independent cost-benefit analysis of the agreement before asking the public to decide on a 35-year contract. Others said they hoped more residents would start paying attention to the proposed agreement before the day comes to cast a ballot. The next town hall meeting is tentatively scheduled for August 11th. Reporting in Skagway, I'm Greta Mart.
A minor offenses ordinance that dictates fines for hundreds of low-level violations has alarmed some Haines residents and elected officials. The ordinance is a compilation of all the existing minor infractions scattered throughout Haines Borough Code. It's the borough's attempt to create a consistent enforcement and appeals process for violations that don't rise to the level of misdemeanors. But the 35-page document has brought attention to a slew of regulations that some residents see as excessive. The draft ordinance has a 14-page fee schedule for the low-level violations already prohibited in Borough Code. Here are just a few. Sign violation, $100. Barking or howling dog, $50. Offending public decency, $300. Cutting timber that is not already dead or downed, $300. Sleeping or loitering on a highway, $25. Here are some of the reactions of residents to that list.
I think this is going to pit neighbors against neighbors. I mean, it's everything about it is so negative.
I have always wanted to believe that I was living in a community that had more positive reinforcement in its community rather than a community that had a lot of regulation or thou shalt nots.
It's commonly known as creep when you're talking about the loss of your freedom. It's just a little bit here, a little bit there, and now we got this nice big long list.
Those were Haines residents Gina St. Clair, Deborah Schnabel, and Bill Kurz. They spoke at the Government Affairs and Services Committee meeting Monday night. That committee of four borough assembly members was tasked with coming up with a recommendation about what to do with the contentious ordinance. Committee member Diana Lapham pointed out that all of the offenses are already in borough code. She proposed passing the ordinance and then paring it down.
It's not a big deal to pass this with fines in there that you think and I think and everybody else thinks are ridiculous.
Committee member George Campbell didn't agree.
We have inherited codes that are inappropriate, poorly done, done in a hurry, passed imperfectly. This has come from that. So what needs to happen is we need to take the bull by the horns and go, we don't like these codes, and we need to change the codes to make it appropriate for what our citizens want.
Some members of the public also urged the committee not to pass the ordinance until it's trimmed of unnecessary regulations. Brenda Josephson said the long list of minor offenses contradicts the rights promised in the Haynesboro Charter.
The charter guarantees to the people of Haynesboro the following rights that are in addition to the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the State of Alaska. And that right is the right to enjoyment of private property, chosen lifestyles, traditions, employment, recreational activities, without unnecessarily restrictive or arbitrary laws or regulations.
Haynesboro attorney Patrick Munson is the lawyer who compiled the ordinance. He says it streamlines the enforcement and appeals procedures for low-level infractions. Munson said right now there is very little direction in borough code about the citation and appeals processes for a range of violations. Munson said his law firm has drafted similar minor offenses ordinances for Dillingham and Nome. Resident Schnabel asked Munson if those towns had violation lists as long as Haines. Munson said no.
This is pretty significantly the longest one that we've had, and we knew that going into it because Haines has more regulations than Dillingham and Nome, for example. But you have different interests. I mean, you don't need a heli-ski chapter or a commercial tour permit in Nome, Alaska.
Munson said there was no looming deadline for the assembly to pass the ordinance, so the GAS committee decided to schedule a series of meetings to go through the minor offenses by category and cut out gratuitous regulations. The first meeting will focus on harbor-related violations. It's scheduled for August 4th at 6:30 p.m. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.